Hey, I'm Allison, host of Fine Cut, a podcast where a guest brings a scene they have strong feelings about, love, hate, curiosity, from any form of media, and then we discuss the heck out of it for 20 minutes. It's a blast. Join us. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Fine Cut. I'm Allison, and today, author Jessica Waite of the forthcoming memoir with the best title ever, The Widow's Guide to Dead Bastards, is joining me to discuss a scene from... What did you choose, Jessica? What is the scene we are talking about today?
It's the rescue scene from the movie Room.
With Brie Larson and Jacob Tremblay.
Yes.
Tremblay.
Yeah, I think it came out in 2015. Yeah, Tremblay. Yes. Tremblay would be how we would say it. I'm from Canada, so the French-ish pronunciation, but I don't know how he pronounced.
I should have looked it up before, but I didn't. So why did we? Why did you select? Because we had a little conversation before you selected a scene when we talked.
Yeah,
about joining me.
when we first met, we actually bonded over the fact that we both cry easily and that we think that, like, I sometimes feel like I'm put on this earth to make crying as socially acceptable as laughing. And so we thought we would talk about a crying scene. And there were a few that came to mind, but I chose this one because there's so much that's conveyed, so many different emotions through the crying. And so I felt like it was such a good example of like some of the like important reasons why we cry. Yeah.
It does have all kinds of different crying in it. And it's funny because I knew that we had had a conversation, but I didn't go back and look at it. So the first thing I said when I got on this call with Jessica was, oh, I watched the scene. It made me cry. I didn't even remember. That's what, yeah. So now I, of course, remember our conversation and the normalization of crying.
Yeah.
And how important it is, especially I think men generally don't cry as much as they might like to. So this is safe space for you men to cry. And that doesn't mean you're less of a man. I, in fact, think it means you're more of a man, personally.
I agree. And that's funny because the two scenes that I didn't choose were both men crying. It was the Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting and then Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar. So yes, go men, go. Let those tears flow.
So what's you did a great summary of the scene in your email to me. So what is happening in this scene?
So in this scene, there's been previous to this, a teenage girl was kidnapped and held as a hostage in a shed in someone's backyard. And during the time that she was confined, she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And so the son was born into the captivity of this space. He calls it Room. And the story is narrated by him. So we're listening to a five-year-old boy who's only ever known this world. But he's coming to an age where he's starting to understand a little bit more that there is an outside world and there's a ton of pressure that they have to get out. And so they formulate an escape plan. It all depends on him, a boy who's never been with anyone but his mom. And so we see the mom coming out, not knowing whether or not the plan worked, and then meeting up with her son. Oh, I'm crying. I'm crying. Just talking about it. But so she's coming out and she's looking for her son, and we see their reunion after this horrible ordeal. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, the most emotional part of the scene is when he's in the police car waiting for her to come out, and he's saying, "Ma," you know, and he's hitting the window, and I'm like, come on, police officer. Obviously that's not what the movie's about, but it's like just this child who, I mean, really knows nothing but his mother. Like,
yeah,
if she didn't make it, who would he be? So
yeah.
It was, as a mother, was particularly emotional. And and we were talking right before we started recording, we both read the book, and it's just, it's harrowing, but it is also a piece about love.
I think so too, about love and about like doing the best you can as a mom, and about sometimes like feeling confined in the world. And so, yeah, I think that those things, the love in it, for me, helped to mediate like the grueling nature of the circumstances
well,
of the story.
She did it, Emma, the author, Donahue.
Yeah.
Donahue did a good job of not getting too graphic. We all know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, for
and,
sure.
And I also think it's about, if she hadn't had Jack, I don't know if she would have ever escaped.
I agree. I agree. And that, and so in the moment, so I agree with you, the tension when he's calling for her and in the car, and then we see her coming out wild-eyed, trying to get to him, and the door is locked, the car door is locked. And then there's just, like, to me, through her emotionality and crying, like the first moment is just relief that he's alive.
Yeah.
And then all the trauma and grief of everything that they've experienced. And then she sits down holding him, and you just feel her love. Like, they move into the car and he's sitting on her lap, and the way she's holding him, I could feel her tears of, like, pride. Do you know that he did it? And then, do you want to say? And then, so then he asks if they can.
And you think, like, it's over, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's over.
You have a moment of, like, oh, wow, they've done it.
Yeah, yeah. And just, like, this relief. And then he asks if they can go to sleep. And she said, yeah, they'll take us somewhere to sleep soon.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I want to go to bed in room.
Yeah.
And then the tears when she recognizes it's not over, like, this ordeal, like, and just so, yeah, it's just such a powerful scene and so brilliantly acted. And
yes.
Yeah.
And it's a great metaphor for trauma, right? Like, I mean, living through trauma, you think, oh, it's behind me. Like, all sort of the stages of it are right there, just in that moment. Like, you don't know if you're going to make it. You do. You want to believe you're done, but you're not. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. It is, and beautifully illustrated in just such a short scene. And I don't know if you feel this, but sometimes when movies or stories are manipulating you and intentionally trying to make you cry, I cry anyway, but I feel really angry and resentful about it.
Yes, I do.
But
because
in
I'm
this
like their target audience, and I can feel them targeting me.
Yeah, and I feel them pulling the strings, but it still works, but I'm not happy about it. But in this scene, it felt so real that I was just so fully immersed, and I felt no manipulation at all. I just thought it was beautifully done.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they talk about, you know, oftentimes if you show too much crying, the audience won't cry because the film is doing the catharsis for the audience. And so I thought this scene actually walked that line really well, because it isn't just a scene of them sobbing, you know, like, there's always something is always moving the action forward. And I mean, it's a very brief time of her feeling that relief and him saying, I want to go to room.
Like, yeah,
it's,
yeah,
you know, seconds.
Yes.
Like, oh man, she really had to breathe that in, because it's over.
yes, and that turning. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I watched an interview with Brie Larson about filming that scene, and she actually had no memory of it afterward. Like, and I think that says something about just, you know, the immediacy and the presence of being in that moment, but then that she must have been going through some of those things too, to kind of, like,
I think
have
so. I think also just the shooting and being a shooting of the film, like being in the room, and I mean, all of that must have been heavy to carry. I mean, I see it in performers I know and creatives I know and myself. Sometimes when you're immersed in something really dark, I don't know if you found this with writing your memoir, like, you need to find a space to, like, let it go, to purge it a bit. Like, you can't continue to carry something so heavy with you always.
Yeah, no. And that, again, I wonder, like, I think that's why that real emotion, like the release of crying, is probably, like, part of processing that. And I had never thought of that. I don't know a lot of actors. And so, like, I never thought about the hazards of method acting, or just being so immersed in the character and situation that you could vicariously embody. Yeah. Yeah.
You can see it, I think, in them. And I mean, I was not a professional actor, but I was a theater major and did some acting. And I think in a way it's therapeutic, but you also have to, like, cleanse it, let it go. You can't carry around all those people with you all the time. So, and I think because I had read the book and seen the film, I know that later he is separated from her. So I had a moment of like, oh no, is it already gonna ha-? Like, I don't know if I had that the first time I watched it, but when she's trying to get in the car, I didn't know if she wasn't going to be able to get in the car. And so I also had that anxiety of, because sometimes people keep people separate for their own good.
Yeah,
Quote,
or what
quote
they
unquote.
expect, or that it's like they want the police want to get their stories
Yeah.
separately, like
Yeah.
that type of thing. And
Yeah.
so they, yeah.
So I also had that anxiety. There was just a lot going on in such a short scene. So a great choice because there's so much to talk about.
Thanks. Yeah. And it's not all encapsulated in the scene if you hadn't seen the
And I'll
buildup or
put a
didn't know the
YouTube
setup.
link in the show notes if you want to watch it. You probably want to watch the whole film, but you also can just see what we're talking about here. And I think if you just contextualize it, someone who's been separated from the person they love the most in the world, it works.
Yeah.
It works. And I think also her wanting, her feeling like I never have to go back there without having a moment of understanding that's the only place he's ever known. Like it's a site of horror for her,
Yes.
but it's not for him.
It's his home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I also thought that was really powerful how places, people, and things can be different things to different people.
Yeah. And well, anyway, well, what I think what I want to say about that is like more of a rabbit hole than we want to go down. So I agree
I
with you.
mean, do you have a short rabbit hole? I'm curious, but because I do think that happens all the time in relationships where it's, I think a lot of tension in relationships is wanting people to feel exactly the same way that you feel about this thing that holds so much for you. Me,
Yeah,
I'll
and
speak for myself, especially when I was
in
younger.
this story, she's done a brilliant job of sheltering him from the fact that they're captives, and he
Yep.
has bonded to every single item in
Yeah.
that room. And
Yeah.
he like he call he gives them personalities, like that's his
Yeah.
social life. And so it's so I think at some level she does understand, and she did such a good job of protecting him and trying to give him as normal and healthy a life as they could have in
Yeah.
that situation, that then the good job that she did then
Yeah.
was
Yeah.
kind of biting her
Which I think
in
can
the butt.
happen in divorces and grieving and, you know, the stories that we tell to get through coping, surviving, you know,
Yeah.
and then trying to unpack them for ourselves and for the people we've been telling them to. Like,
Yeah.
'cause that's something that I think about and talk about a lot in therapy, like what is real? What happened? Does real matter if it's how it affected you? You know, it's very complicated. And I think when I was younger, I felt like it was much more cut and dry.
Yeah, I think so
This
too.
happened, this had this consequence. You know, it's much more like a ripple or a spiral or something. You know, it's not a straight line, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And then thinking about how, like, I've recently learned that memories aren't stored, they're assembled. And so all the places and things that were around, like, you know, that's why they're triggering and that sort of thing. And so it's, yeah, they like there's so much that's loaded in that maybe doesn't have to be, or in therapy we can sort of work through detaching those things from one another. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's such a stark moment of that. Because I think a lot of, you know, especially in survival situations, a lot of parents do create different realities for their children because they don't want their children to have to experience the world they're experiencing. And there's like a scale of that, right? You
Yeah.
know, like people do it on a small scale and then people must do it on a large scale to survive. And so there's a lot there about what we do to make it and then how we live afterward.
Yeah, for sure. And then trying to somehow, I don't think there's a lot of good examples of like bridging back to a shared reality, you know, which is probably what we need to do to come, you know, when whatever the terrible thing is over, like to yeah, to come around to get onto the same page together.
Yeah,
So
we need a sequel to a Room. Could you
yeah.
imagine? It'd be really,
Yeah.
because I think it would be really complex. You know.
It absolutely would. Yeah, it's scary to think. It's scary to think about what would their lives be like now and how. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to say about this scene or crying or normalizing crying?
I think that I mostly said what I
Good.
wanted to say, but
Good.
yeah, but just that I imagine for someone just like you did, even watching the scene with no context, it might make you cry, and I hope you don't feel manipulated. And if you do, just like try to let it flow, and whatever it is in you that's bringing
That's
out
the
the
thing.
tears,
Even when I feel
let it heal
manipulated,
you. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, I'll just cry.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a
like I
nice release. It's a good release. So, yeah.
Yeah. And there are people who can't really cry. So I always kind of feel I've had people say to me more in my recent life, like, oh, you're so lucky you can cry, which is certainly not what I felt like as a younger person. Like it was not luck. It felt like much more like a curse because I couldn't
Yeah.
hide. You know, it's like, oh, I gotta go somewhere and hide, like physically hide, because I
Yeah,
can't
yeah.
stop what's happening.
Yes, and it attracts attention, which is the last thing that you want.
Please don't ask me how I am. Please
Yes,
don't try
yeah.
to hug me.
Yes, that makes it worse.
I know. Oh man, I don't know if we talked about like I did it on some dates, which is like the worst possible like time. You know, like a first or a second date, just
Oh,
snowing, like
Allison, yes.
uncontrollably.
I'm feeling like so, like,
Ugh. I mean, like
yeah.
snot running down my face, like just terrible. And you're just like, okay, well, the mood is over. I mean, I know the mood is over. I get that this is not attractive. But yeah, it's good to have people in my life now who are like, oh, okay, she's doing it. It's not really about me. Like, it's nothing
Yeah.
about you, whoever. It's me.
No, but also, like, I just want to have some compassion that at some level when if that happens, like you're showing them your sensitive heart, and like who, and like, and really, like, to my lens, like your value on the dating stock market should go up because you're such a like kind and sensitive person. But it's
I don't think
that's
it's very sexy, though, to
no.
most people.
I know, I totally agree, and I know this is a little bit pie in the sky, but I do think, again, like, life is long. You're looking for a lot of things in a partner, and so a beautiful heart, like, maybe we could, like, prop that prop the merits of that up a little bit
I did
higher.
after the fact tell myself, well, we probably wouldn't have been a good match anyway because this is who I am. You know, for better or for worse, like I'm not going to be able to. I mean, I'm going to cry a lot. So
Yeah.
if this is not great, this me going to Forrest Gump and losing my mind, which speaking of manipulative, oh my God, I cried so much. And everyone's like,
Oh,
why did you cry? It's such
Jenny.
a cheesy movie. And I was like, exactly. You literally just described why I cried so much. Yes, of course. It's all the things, but very
Yeah.
well done.
Yeah.
Everything very well done.
I
Check
agree.
mark. So that was a tangent, but I can still remember sitting in that movie theater. So run, Forrest, run. So if people it's just heart-wrenching thinking about it. So Jessica, thank you for joining me. This was such an enjoyable conversation as I knew it would be. If you would like to learn, if a person, a listener would like to learn more about you, Jessica, where would they find you?
They can find me at my website, Jessica Waite, WAITE .work. I'm also on Instagram at endless_stories_Jess. And I have a Substack. So just Google my name and you'll find me. So thanks so much for having me,
Wonderful.
Alice. And this has been really delightful.
Oh, I loved it. And how, so you're, I just like want to give your memoir a few moments. Like, so it's coming out in July. How are you feeling? I know there's ramp up, right? Or is
Yeah,
it
I
just
think
internal ramp
that. Oh, there's definitely internal.
up?
Yeah, it's I'm excited about it. Yeah, things are gonna turn a corner towards the launch, and that's what my Substack is actually a little bit about, is like
Oh, exciting.
behind the scenes. If people want to peek behind the scenes at a publishing journey, that's what I'm posting about. But it's exciting, and speaking of crying, like, I have a teenage son. This is a memoir about the passing of his father, who, although the title calls him a bastard, was someone who I loved very much and still do. And my son is about to read it
Oh,
for the
wow.
first time. So yeah,
Wow.
I'm that's what I'm most anxious about.
I think that it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but anyway, but as far as listeners go, it's ready for you to read. We'll just jump this family hurdle and yeah, and please find me and watch for it to come out this summer.
Okay, so, well, thank you for joining me, Jessica, and thank you to everyone who listened. We know you have a lot of choices, like endless choices, just like endless stories from Jess on her Instagram, and we're just glad you took a moment and shared your time with us. So like, rate, subscribe, do the things, and we'll see you next time, or listen, hear you next time. You'll hear me next time. Okay, bye.
Bye.